We're turning to the book of Jude tonight, the book of Jude, as we work our way through this powerful little letter. Tonight we're looking at verses 17 through 21, keeping the faith, keeping the faith. Jude, verses 17 through 21. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening. We have seen your hand already in orchestrating our service, and we've been blessed, and we thank you for it. We can't do this ourselves. We can't work it up ourselves. We know that only you can do it. And so again, we ask you tonight to work in our hearts. Make us very loyal to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to have longings for the things and the world itself, but to have our longings to do the will of God, to put Jesus first, to be a help and a blessing, to share the good news of the gospel, to build ourselves up in the faith, as we're looking at tonight. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me tonight for the message. Trust and depend in you and not in myself, asking you to bring the message the way you see fit. And may we go home stronger and challenged and rejoicing in the Lord for what you're doing and what you're going to be doing. And we thank tonight, Father, for all of the tremendous blessings that we're enjoying on a daily basis as believers here in America. We're so blessed that we give you gratitude for that tonight, thanksgiving. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring revival in the church and that you would bring an awakening to our land. We need it now. And we ask that you help us to be a part of that revival and a part of that awakening, that we would see tremendous things happening in our own hearts and also for the cause of Christ and the salvation of souls. So I ask you now to speak to our hearts tonight. We commit this time to you, and we ask these blessings and the power in Jesus' name. Amen. Keeping the faith, our first point tonight is that one word, remember. Remember, there in verse number 17. But, beloved, remember. Remember. As visitors leave one of the museums in Germany, where a concentration camp had been, there is a sign as you leave that reads like this: those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat its mistakes. There's a lot of that happening. A lot of repeat of terrible things. And Jude understands the importance of history, and he's been talking about history as he's been going through this book. And he's been talking about all the enemies of the cross and those who want to take advantage of those of us who do know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he understands the importance of history, and he's been instructing from history, and tonight in these verses he's going to continue to hammer away on the same subject. And so Jude begins by saying, beloved. It is a term of endearment. Special ones. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us tonight. In the case of these folks that he's talking to in his letter, they were folks who were suffering for the cause of Christ. They were being persecuted. They knew what that is. We talk about it. We hear about it. We've not really experienced what these folks had experienced. They lived in a hostile climate where folks did not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And on top of that, they were dealing with these apostate preachers and false teachers and sin. And so Jude says here in verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember is the big word here in verse number 17. By the time that Jude writes this, most of the books of the New Testament were done. They were completed. They were being copied. They were being circulated from church to church to church. They had no excuse for being deceived by the apostates. And neither do we. But yet we know that so many are. The big word here is remember. We need to know our Bibles. We need to know our salvation verses. We need to have them ready. Just like that, when we get a chance to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know what we believe. We need to read. We need to rehearse. We need to remember. We believe the fundamentals of the truth of the gospel. We believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in His miracles. We believe in His teaching. We believe in His atoning death. We believe that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. We believe in His ascension. And we believe in His coming again. And many folks are wanting that very badly right now. And so we as believers, we must remember and we need to rehearse the truths that we know and have been taught and continue to rehearse them. Remember the teachings of Christ. Remember the teachings of His apostles. Remember that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is perfect, and that He wants us as His children to be holy and righteous as well. Secondly tonight, from verses 18 or 19, remember or you will become apathetic. Remember or you will become apathetic. I think it's needless to say that if we go from sea to shining sea in our country, we are going to find a lot of very apathetic confessors of Christ. Very apathetic in their lives. It says here, remember how that they told you. Verse 18, how that they told you that there should be all of this going on. And as you read through the New Testament, you will be reminded of the truth of the gospel and about false teachers and their teachings. And if you do not rehearse and do not remember and do not read, you just may become a statistic. You just may become a new evangelical, one that is gradually falling away from the faith. It's not that they fell away, but they're on the road of departure. Why? Because they're not reading, rehearsing, and remembering. The best thing we can do is to know the Word of God. Some years ago, one of my friends in the ministry wrote a little pamphlet entitled "The Changing Face of Christianity." And we need to remember that the face of Christianity is constantly changing. It is changing all the time. Why? Because there are folks that are not reading and rehearsing and remembering. And when this is gone from your heart and your mind and your memory, you become suspect to that which is false and not right. We don't want to go there. We do not want to be an apathetic Christian. We don't want to be a typical American Christian. We do not want to be a spoiled brat just living for the now and having a good old time, not caring about souls and not caring about growing in the Lord. Just thanks for my salvation, but we're just having a good time now in this country. We don't want to go there. We do not want to be a world-loving Christian. And these people are everywhere. So Jude jumps back on his soapbox and he begins to preach again in this message. And his message is on four characteristics of an apostate and an apostate society. The first thing he talks about, number one, is they are mockers. They are mockers, it says in verse number 18. They are mockers. This is their mindset. They are mockers. This word is only used here in the book of Jude and one other place in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, where it is translated scoffers. So we have mockers and we have scoffers. They are godless men and now women. And these folks have always haunted the ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ that He's trying to do down here on this earth. These people are out there infiltrating and becoming a part of the things that God wants to be doing, and they're ruining it. They've always managed to infiltrate the work of God on earth and to horn their way in into positions of influence and power. These mockers have destroyed churches and missions and universities and colleges that once preached the gospel like we preach it here at Faith Chapel today. These mockers make disciples and they gather a following. And they pose as pious religious men. They mock holiness. They mock righteousness. They mock reverence for God. William Martin was such a man, an apostate, who wrote an article mocking biblical prophecy. He admits in his writing that he was reared by his parents in a strong, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. He left there and went and studied liberal theology, turned his back on God, and became an apostate. He rejected the truth of the Bible. If you do not walk in truth, you will soon be on the road to departure. And we do not want to go there. Number two, they walk after their own ungodly lusts, it says in verse number 18. They walk after their own ungodly lusts. This is their morality. This is their morality. The Word of God often links unbelief with a breakdown in the moral fiber of individuals and society alike. Romans chapter 3, if you were to read verses 10 through 18, is a classic example of this. Now, in our text, Jude does not list all of these ungodly things, these ungodly lusts, but it is not hard for us to list the things that we see, the things that we know about, the things that we have heard. Within the community of religion and the apostates who are there, there is the lust for money and begging for it so that they can do what they want. There is the lust for prestige. There is the lust for power. There is the lust for the approval of men. There is the lust for the approval of their peers. There is the lust for being popular with the world. Don't you see that? Right there, smack dab on your television screen. Such sins have cropped into our evangelical circles today. They came in yesteryear and yesteryear, and it will continue until Jesus comes home. And so we must remember and know these things. It is easy as a human being to look with longing eyes at the supposed success that these ungodly lusts have attained for these people. It is easy for us to look longingly at the success of what is being done wrong in the name of Christ. I'd have to admit tonight, I have looked longingly myself. But the Holy Spirit always says, whoop, stop, whoop, time out. What they're doing is not right. It's never wrong. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Never, ever, ever. So these sins have cropped in everywhere. The Christian has got to keep his eyes focused on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So let us not look longingly at wrong methods and wrong ways to try and do God's work. Jesus does not use ungodly lusts and methods to get his work done. Our Jesus never sins, and he never fails, and he never did wrong when he was here in order to try and do something which was rightly motivated. Never, ever did that. Number three, they separate themselves. Verse number 19. This is how they move. They separate themselves. This is how they move. The apostasy is a great source of division amongst God's people. I understand that in our own county here, we have 400 churches, 400 schools of thought, 400 ways of doing things. Why is that? Why is that? Because apostasy knows how to divide. They know how to carve things up and cut things up and destroy. Satan's goal is to get everybody into hell and ultimately the lake of fire that he possibly can. So he will use men and women to cause division in God's churches. Paul teaches on this in Romans chapter 16. I am going to go there. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple or the innocent people. They are great deceivers. And there are so many people being deceived. Whenever I think about simple Christians or innocent Christians, my brain always goes back to Five Pointville, to where the Bible conference was for years and years and years, Open Air Tabernacle. And I'd go down there and lead the songs for that when I lived in Lebanon. But they always had this, at some point, to raise money for the conference, they would bring in a couple Southern Gospel groups. Now, we had an average of 25 people for the preaching. And I had never been to one of these concerts. So I said to my wife, I'm going down. I want to go down there and see what happens. I want to see this for myself. So we get down there and got there a little late, I guess. And we pulled in, parked in the grass, this big field of the park. And how many people do you think were there? The same 25 that we had for our preaching? Oh, man, that place, every seat in the tabernacle was full. And there were hundreds of lawn chairs all around. But you know the thing that spoke to me as I watched this and as I watched performers begging for applause and so forth? What I saw as I studied the crowd, and we stayed back a little bit from the crowd, but what I saw there that night was about 500 simple Christians. I saw simple, innocent Christians who were taken up with what was going in their ear. It really wasn't about Jesus. It was about the flesh. They were simple people. You could just sit. They were poor souls. But whenever you have something like that, man, they show up. But they never show up when it comes down to the remembering the Word of God. It's all about the flesh. Simpletons. It's sad. Liberal theology. Liberal Christians. Off-the-wall Christian beliefs have driven an enormous wedge into the church. And its false shepherds keep multitudes in ignorance. Ignorance, which will lead their souls to a Christless eternity in the lake of fire. The word separate in this verse means complete separation. Complete separation. These apostates have drawn a wide line between themselves, between them and you and me. They have drawn a wide line between biblical and historic Christianity. Now get this, it is they who have moved, not us. It is they who have moved. They separate themselves from us, from those that believe the whole counsel of God, preach it, and know it. There is constant moving in the church. They've moved away from the cardinal doctrines of the Scriptures, the virgin birth, the inspiration of Scripture, creation by God. Do you realize that you can go to so-called Bible-preaching churches that now believe in evolution? Yeah. It's the truth. Remember, it is the apostates that have moved, not us. And then number four, they are sensual, having not the Spirit. This is the mark of the apostates. This is the mark. They are sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, don't be fooled. The apostate might be a really good man. The apostate might be a nice guy by human standards. The apostate may occupy the highest seat in a theology school like Princeton. The apostate may have a prestigious divinity degree. He may be the pastor of a wildly popular church, but he is an apostate. He is sensual, not knowing God. He's on his way to hell, as well as the people that he is leading. The fact that he has not the Spirit, that is the thing that marks him. He is marked by the fact he does not have the Holy Spirit living within. He is sensual. He is a worldling. Now, thirdly, point number three tonight, what you need to do. What you need to do, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves. Keep is the biggest word here. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The word keep in verse 21 is the strongest command in the list here in verses 20 and 21. The other words are how to do it words. But keep is the strongest command. Here is the sum total. We contend for the faith by keeping Jesus' commandments, by living out the Scriptures, by submitting to God in everything, in every area of our lives. Humble submission to God is a mark of keeping. And that's the biggest word here. When we give in to our self-will, when we give in to self-rule, when we give in to self-exalting autonomy, we're in big trouble. You will know, now listen to this, you will know that you are keeping yourselves in the love of God by that from which you keep yourselves. In other words, if you stay away from these apostates, you stay away from erroneous teaching, you stay away from those things that you know are not scriptural, you know you're on the right track. Why? Because you know your Bible. Because you know what you believe. And you're living out the Word of God. And when you live out the Word of God, you will keep yourselves in the love of God. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, there is Christian. He is an example of what we're talking about here tonight. He is a great example of keeping oneself in the love of God. What does Christian do in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? He steers clear of evil, stays away from that which is dangerous. Yes, he does have some problems and he falls, but he gets up and he obeys Christ. And he struggles, but he gets back on course. And that's what we have to do. When you fall down, you get up. You get up. You get up immediately. Get up. You know, I've seen coaches coaching these little kids in soccer. What are they're always falling down. Get up! Get up! Get on your feet! Get after the ball! Stay on your feet! That's what Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress. And then there is the great preacher George Whitefield. I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven. I'm looking forward to hearing his voice. Deep and powerful and could be heard way far away as he preached the Word of God. He was a great preacher of the first great awakening. He was on his trip making his way from Maine back down to Georgia. And on his way, it came time to stop, and he stopped at Newburyport, Massachusetts. A crowd gathered outside where he was staying, and they wanted to hear him preach. And he was weary, but he got up and he preached, and the Holy Spirit filled him, and he preached for 2 hours. 2 hours he preached. That night he died. at the age of 54. You know what he did? He was an epitome of following this little book of Jude. He kept himself in the love of God. He did the will of the Lord. And he didn't go to the left and he didn't go to the right. He followed the Lord to a T all the way till his dying night, and he gave his last preaching sermon. Great man of God. Had a huge influence on this country in the first great awakening. May we, as the members and attenders of Faith Chapel, may we keep ourselves in the love of God. May we go forth and be like Christian and George Whitefield and others, which we could make a huge list of great soldiers of the cross who have gone on before us. And we do get to rub elbows with those that are around us. And we always will, because there's always going to be a remnant of God's people who will keep themselves in the love of God. There will never come a day when there will be no Christians left that won't keep themselves in the love of God. That day will always be here till Jesus comes back. May we be like them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for Jude and his rousing little letter, fiery little letter. We thank you for his warnings, because we need to be warned. I need to hear the warnings as the pastor. I need to be ready, equipped, and not look at those things that are being done that are wrong and looking like it's all right. Father, help us tonight to be glued to our Bibles, to know them, to know our verses of salvation, that we can point people to Jesus, that we might be a blessing. And Father, help us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Help us to live the Bible. Help us to be like Jesus all day long. Father, we thank you for bringing us here tonight. Bless the word to our hearts. Lord, help us to leave challenged and fired up and ready to go, ready to serve you for another week. And may we be careful always to give you the glory and the praise for all that you do, for you are our great God and our Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.